Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome to another edition of American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner. I'm speaking to you on the 12th of July, 2005. Certainly, I've been involved in the early morning rantings of the Tour de France, and certainly I enjoy that. I enjoy the Tour de France, the bicycle race in France. It's just 2,000-plus miles in 3 weeks. These people are just the best in the world, and Lance Armstrong is slated to win his seventh at this point. He's got the yellow again, and certainly that's the leader of the tour, the overall lead. Maybe to you it means nothing, and I understand sporting events are designed to divide us and to keep us occupied as the real picture in place is being engineered under a globalistic situation. Nancy Levant, and Hans, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Chris.
Okay, very, very good. Nancy Levant, on July 9th, wrote this: "Never deny the power of three, the strength of the triangle. Three times charmed. Trouble comes in threes. Three strikes, you're out. Three is not only symbolic and widely cliched, but it also carries powerful historical significance. There are three branches of government in the United States. Powers have also been divided in triplicate in the global governmental structure. The executive branches of global government are the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, and the United Nations." What is interesting about this power of three is its structural ability to capture the world's combined wealth. In fact, it would appear that the global triad government, which is bureaucratically based upon partnerships and stakeholding, has created a perfect economic siphoning system. The World Bank is up to its eyeballs in environmental sustainability. Environmental sustainability is nothing more than land, water, and resource confiscation. It has absolutely nothing to do with the science of ecology. The World Bank puts control of the world's money and resources under one group. The World Trade Organization set up to define and capture tariff dollars. and to enforce the centralization of global economics, whereby feeding the coffers of the World Bank. The United Nations is the global tax collector, police, and military. The United Nations enforces the economic goals of the World Bank and trade organizations. It is responsible for forcing humanity to comply with the collecting and taking of regional wealth. There's more to this article, much more to this article. If it wasn't for Dennis doing his work, you would not see it on my website or our website, AmericanExpose.com. America spelled with a K, not a C. The big picture is in place. The infiltration in our government starting in the 1930s and maybe even sooner, like I say, with the creation of the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, that set the stage for everything. The World War One, the Bolshevik Revolution, the League of Nations, at the conclusion of World War One, the Council on Foreign Relations after the League of Nations in 1921 officially being acknowledged as existing. That one of the founding directors of the Council on Foreign Relations, John W. Davis, I believe his name was. No, I don't believe his first name was that. I forgot his first name. Anyway, Davis was his name. Davis was the grandfather of Nancy Reagan. And you connect all these dots to infiltration in our government today. And what are we dealing with? A conspiracy that's not being acknowledged by most. And there's where the crux of the problem lies. There's where the situation is. And we deal with this on a daily basis in our newspapers. The control and manipulation goes on. And at this point in time, we have situations where Putin's actually chastising Mugabe in South Africa, or actually Zimbabwe, and this is all for our consumption to believe that Putin is a good man, in my opinion. Now, we have Hansa, and certainly you're very familiar with Hansa as you're a regular listener, and he's the anticommunistanalyst.com. Hansa, you know, with what we're seeing today, with the manipulation going on, with Condoleezza Rice making her statements about communist China, isn't she just doing her job as an employee of the State Department?
Well, I would say something else, but I don't think I would get too far on the radio.
Here's the thing. Joan Vion's done a lot of research. She's written books. She said the State Department turned communist in 1960.
Let me tell you this. I had my experience with the State Department employee in regards to U.S. Embassy in Prague in Czech Republic, where I faxed documentation, stuff that I translated, namely how the recent regime of our so-called NATO ally, Czech Republic, basically protected all the files of these leading figures in Czech Republic government, the communist files, how they cooperated with the communist regimes during the openly communist era. And I faxed documentation to the State Department employee at the U.S. Embassy in Prague, and he couldn't care less. I should probably name him. Well, no, I'm just going to leave it. I put his name on my website. I had a dealing with the press secretary of the U.S. ambassador, and I tried to get certain people deposed by U.S. government so they can give the testimony what really happened in Eastern Europe. No interest at all. So, you know, we'll see that the people that were put in place by Bill Clinton, who was very much promoting trade with China and Russia, and other stuff that's about him, very interesting. We can see that other people just doing their job.
Wasn't Bill Clinton sent to Russia or the Soviet Union to be educated?
He was there in 1970. Basically for 1969 to be exact, and he was in Moscow. He went to he was studying in London, then he went to to visit Soviet Union, and then he came to Czechoslovakia, where in January 1970 he was staying in a house of Czechoslovak military espionage officer Bezhik Kopold, and he was a son. He's the son-in-law of basically founding member of the Czechoslovak Communist Party, Jan Šverma. So Bill Clinton had really a good relationship with these people, and of course, you know, he was there after the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia, occupation of Czechoslovakia in 1968, and so Clinton really, I don't think he disagreed with the Soviet invasion. I mean, why would he stay with family like that? You know, and and of course, you know, to have somebody like that, or of course, become the president of the United States after he has contacts like this in the communist bloc, you know, that brings a bad light. You know, basically, we don't have to go too far, Chris. Let us look at what happened during the Clinton era. I mean, how many helping you know hands he gave to Russia. You know, the foreign aid to Russia, the state-of-the-art satellite technology from L'Oreal, and use electronics to the communist Chinese. You know, we can just keep you know, pounding and pounding, and we'll find, you know, stuff. You know, there's an article in the U.S. Constitution talking about treason, giving aid and comfort to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, why isn't there an investigation of Bill Clinton
well,
in that regard?
Here's the point. Isn't our government infiltrated with agents?
Well, seems that way to me. I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand how this could be happening. I mean, we got people promoting trade with communist China. We know really well that China is turning the money into weapons. They are threatening us openly.
Yes.
You know, with attack. They were threatening as far as back as 1994, I believe. They were ready to send nuclear missiles to destroy Los Angeles. You know, now they're threatening again, over and over. We are simply smiling and saying, oh, maybe diplomacy will work. Well, let me tell you something. Diplomacy with communists, it only gives them the chance to destroy you, because that gives them extra time and you know, the cover for them to do the dirty job, to attack us and to basically prove us wrong. I mean, you know, it's that simple. You know, you dealing with the devil, you know, nothing good will come out of it. You know,
now, listeners, keep in mind, Hans has been on quite a bit. If you have any questions, you can email me. You certainly know the address. It's on the website, AmericanExpose.com or AmeraExpose@earthlink.net. That's AmeraExpose, AmeriExpose, at earthlink.net. That's AmeraExpose@earthlink.net, or directly from the website. You can email me questions for Hans. If you want to call in, 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773. Very, very important for you to question Hans. If you have any questions, you know, we can go back and forth, he and me, but without your participation, without your concerns, you know, we need it. We need your input one way or the other. We aren't doing this except we're very, very concerned about the way our country's turned. Hans has come from his learning. I've come from my learning. And here we meet in the middle. So email questions, call in 559-781-3773. I certainly see these directions are very ominous. Hans, I see that our military spent 3.5 years in Korea. 54,000 died in Korea. We lost 8,000 POWs in Korea because of the extreme cold weather. they were shipped off to Communist China and Soviet Union as guinea pigs. You disclosed that even yourself. We have the Vietnam War, which was a set-up operation to destroy our military structure, destroy the draft, destroy any belief in what we were doing. And South Vietnam fell to communism, while Communist Cuba survives to this very day. Communist Cuba is subservient to the Soviet Union. Correct, Hans?
Absolutely correct, yes. That's a fact.
And isn't Communist Cuba, haven't they created alliances with Communist China?
Well, they have alliances also with Iran. They have alliances with Venezuela. They used to be friendly to America. They have alliances all over the place. I mean, it's Cuba. It's the Russians spreading their operations through Cuba in South America and also in Africa. That's a known fact. I mean, you know, the Russian strategy is always to spread their operations throughout the world, but never be seen behind them. So they can always claim that they are turning into a democracy and freedom and all that, which is totally false. I was able to find, going through Anatoly Kalitsyn's book, Perestroika Deception, I stumbled over something that needs to be read on the air, if you don't mind.
Please.
In the memorandum to the CIA on the 30th April of 1993, he wrote, "The West has failed to learn the lesson of history that Western aid to communist Russia has invariably been short-sighted and has consistently disappointed the hopes and expectations of its sponsors. For instance, German financial logistical help for Lenin during the First World War was gladly accepted and used by Lenin for party purposes. The October Revolution helped to knock Russia out of the war to the advantage of the Germans, but within 2 years Lenin was engaged in fomenting revolution in Germany. Food aid delivered to Russia by the American Relief Administration in the 1920s, when Russians were genuinely starving, was diverted on a grand scale to the party and the GPU State Political Directorate, which is the successor of the Cheka, that was the political police. German military aid to the USSR following the Rapallo Treaty of 1922 helped to build up Soviet military industry and the Soviet army, which defeated the Germans in the Second World War. Then land lease and allied collaboration with the USSR during the Second World War did not alter Stalin's expansionist objectives. On the contrary, the alliance and its victory were exploited by him for the purpose of taking over Eastern Europe after the war. Similarly, current and future Western aid for Russia will fail to deflect the Russian leaders from their long-term objectives of world hegemony, which they will continue to pursue in concert with the communist Chinese." And now we have a really nice note here down there from the editor of this book, which is British author Christopher Story. You know, let me read the note. It's regarding the State Department.
Mm-hmm.
See the contrast, what this is. "Diversion of foodstuff and medical supplies distributed in bulk by the West has been taking place under some of the post-communist regimes on a routine basis. In Washington, the editor was told that the attitude adopted by a State Department official when asked about this problem was as follows: 'We know they are corrupt, but they have only just emerged from communism, so this generation doesn't know any better. Our hope is that the next generation will not be corrupt.'" And this is the State Department policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total fail policy that needs to be amended, or you know, there's only so much, so much money, and there's only so much patience, and you know, we are talking about communists, we are talking about sworn enemies of freedom and you know, Christianity and moral values and any of that. So these people will do what they want to do. And no matter what we say, how many disarmament treaties we sign, whatever, it doesn't matter to them. They are set on the path that they will follow, no matter what we do and what we say.
Okay, let's take Dennis. Dennis, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello there, Chris.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
How are you? Hansa, I was just curious. I know you've talked a lot about communism. I'm wondering if you're familiar with the dialectic that started communism.
Well, you mean the Marxism?
The Marxism, socialism, whatever you want to call it, whatever is the name you want to give it.
Well,
with the dialectic that started it.
Well, well, I was taught some of it in school when I went to school in Czechoslovakia. So, yes, I'm familiar with it a little bit. I don't know, do you have anything particular in mind?
Well, what I'm getting at here is, do you understand the people that were behind communism to start it?
Well, yeah, they were basically atheists. They had no use for God. They wanted to create They wanted to create the world of man, basically to rule the world with their ideas, not what the God commands. That's why they are such as sworn enemies of Christianity. They are, first of all, atheists. They have no trust in God at all. And, then they created the tyranny and, created methods how to prolong it and how to keep people under the leash. And this is how they run it. So the idea behind communism is basically, it sounds nice, like make everybody wealthy or everybody living in a social justice, I should say. In fact, it's only communism. It's only tool used by these people to control the population of the country and to basically disallow any opposition. So it should be rejected on principle, because it will never bring anything good to the people.
I think what Dennis is referring to is the Wall Street banking backing of the Bolshevik Revolution. Is that correct, Dennis?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I was going to let him finish his answer there. But, I mean, you have to associate the name of who was behind who started communism. Communism was started by Wall Street as a dialectic. You need a black and a white, a yin and a yang. This has been going on for centuries.
Well, the idea...
Communism just didn't spring up on its own. I mean, it's the thing that came out of the communities in Germany to start the Second World War.
I mean, well, of course not, but
there's enough evidence to show that that Hitler and Japan had signed a common pact to fight communism throughout the world. That was the whole means of them getting together. Now we go into a Second World War, and what do? We fought against Hitler and Japan. Well, why were we fighting against them?
Well, Hitler and
Japan. We weren't there to stop communism. We weren't there to stop oppression.
Well, what Hitler and Japan, why they signed it, was that they knew that the communism is a major problem for their own ideology, which is basically related to communism, which is national socialism, which again doesn't allow any freedom. And they knew that it's a competing ideology, but in fact the communism and socialism are sister ideologies. They are related as far as the achievements and basically the background of it. That was the reason why they signed these agreements, because they knew that if they allow communism, they will not be able to rule the countries they control. That was the reason why they signed such agreement. There was also agreement between Hitler and Stalin before the war. That was the famous Molotov-Ribbentrop agreement of 1939, I believe it was. That was kept secret for a while. Of course, Stalin had never intentions to keep that agreement going. Of course, if you talk about the bankers of the Wall Street, we have to go back who they are. One of them was Armand Hammer. Well, basically, Armand Hammer was committed communist. He believed in this ideology. He was actually recruited by the KGB, and he was Lenin's personal friend. Of course, this was published in several articles, and if you do the research on Armand Hammer, you find out that this is actually factually true. We are talking about people that have no good intentions, that again are not following the what God teaches and what Christ teaches us in that sense, that we should be charitable to our neighbor. They are following their own perverted and evil intentions, which again brings them back to materialism and closer to communism. So these people are basically following the ideology because it's more acceptable to them than to rely on the Christianity and the Christ teaching.
Dennis?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Isn't that what the money system is all about, though? Isn't that what the money trust is all about?
Well,
when you think about what let's just call it what it is, capitalism is all about.
Well,
that's
not entirely, because capitalism, it
doesn't matter what ism you put behind it, it's all still the same thing. And
it's
a dialectic. It sets up a yin and a yang type thing. You have to have a problem, a solution, and an answer.
Well, yeah, but you are able to, there's nothing wrong to do business or to have free enterprise or that was never, but you have to use the money wisely, and you have to live in charity to your neighbor and according to God's law. But
wait a minute here. Now, one thing about the whole thing that you're talking about is we never had that system as far as a money system. We had a barter system.
Well, I'm not.
Was the farm
not that familiar
was the
to
paid during the time of Jesus? We had a barter system.
We're going way back to Jesus Christ days.
Well, sometimes you have to, I think.
Well, the thing is, we are faced with communism and taking over the world by communism today. And so it's because people failed to live by the God's law. They failed to realize that Jesus did die for our sins on the cross, and that we should first of all live according to what Jesus teaches us. And I'm not theologian, any of that, but I'm familiar with what's in the Bible, and I'm trying to live by it. And of course, there are people that don't respect this, and of course, then it's easy to sway them into something evil, which also involves communism.
Listen, Dennis, stay with us. Keep your thoughts in place. I've got a statement to make when we come back, and certainly it's relevant to where we're going, dealing with Alan Greenspan and the Federal Reserve and Communist China. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Hello. Oh, Carol, hi. Oh, you want to talk to Frida? Oh, sure, she's right. No!
No. She's not here. No, she's...
Two words, she's...
In the back room. No, not the back room. No, she's in the bathing room? Bathroom, yes! She's in the bathroom. Mm-hmm.
There are people we try to avoid in life.
Hi, boss. Hi, boss. I'm too sick to come to work today.
Come on, Frank. The fish are waiting.
You doofus. This is the boss I'm talking to.
Even though God loves us very much, many people still try to avoid him.
Read about Jesus. Study the Bible. Get real. I have better things to do than waste my time on that.
If we continue to avoid God in this world, we'll spend eternity in the next world without him. God is love, and he wants to spend eternity with you. Will you accept his invitation? A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Okay, welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. And certainly we have Hans and Molina with us. Dennis is with us. I think with the Unocal deal, I think Alan Greenspan stated that the Unocal deal with Communist China has to go through. I think Alan Greenspan made that statement. Do you remember that, Dennis?
Yes, he did make that statement.
Okay, and I think this is what you're alluding to, aren't you?
Yes, more or less, yeah. I mean, it's central to one thing, total control. They had to set the system to be against it. They had to have something to be against.
And I think you're dealing with the banking elite.
That's the banking. If you're familiar with the Hegelian dialectic, Hansa, this is all what it's about. They have to give us the illusion.
Let me tell you this.
We're fighting something. We're not fighting anything because we're already part of it.
There's a term for it.
There is no resistance to any of this stuff that's going on. Not one iota. I mean, with the comments that Condoleezza Rice makes, okay, she's just playing her role. She's just like George W. Bush. She's just playing her role. She's just like Tony Blair. He's just playing his role. You wind them up, you put them on stage, you put a script in front of them, and that's what comes out of their mouth.
Well, there's a term for it. This term, useful idiots. Let me read something real. I just found something here in First Trick of Deception that will explain it much further. Lenin is supposed to, this is from Mr. Golitsyn. Lenin is supposed to have divided Western politicians into two categories. Those who are clever anti-communist adversaries who should be taken on, confronted, and dealt with seriously, and those who are confused and useful idiots, quote unquote, who could be exploited up to the hilt in the communist interest. Of course, we have people that accepted the deception. We have people that don't understand where it could lead. We have also people that are totally involved with money and money interest in dealing with China, and therefore they see only the profit. They don't see the aftermath, what it could bring, because they are blindly fooled by the promises of the Chinese leaders, how great business they can do in China. Of course, this involves the the big companies like the General Motors building a big factory in China, also involvement of various other companies like Walmart, for example, and others.
Now, let me, I hate to break in on you, but just let me say this while I got this thought in my head. That may be true, okay? That may be true for the corporate giants that are doing what they're doing. But there's none of that that can't happen without the State Department's okay.
Well, yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. The problem is who runs the State Department. Those are people that were put in place by Bill Clinton in the place, and of course the policies
Clinton's
of the diplomat.
Clinton's not there anymore.
I'm sorry.
Clinton's not there anymore.
Right, but those people remained in there. George W. Bush didn't remove them.
Well, actually, I think
there you go. There's your answer right there. George W. Bush didn't remove them.
Well, yeah, but that's a mistake. That's a failed policy. The problem is.
Now wait a minute. You're thinking that this is just a big error.
This is a big error
on the administration's part.
Well,
it's a big error. The administration's doing what it's told to do by those behind the scenes.
Well, I don't follow the conspiracies and all that. I'm trying to prevent World War III. You know, by explaining that Russia never disarmed.
Call it a conspiracy if you want to, okay? But I know you've studied history. That's all history is.
Well, the problem is the bankers never killed anybody. The communists murdered over 100 million people.
Well, actually, the bankers have engineered wars in the past, and both sides were killed. People from both sides were killed. I mean, the financing of the First World War, the financing of the Bolshevik Revolution, they had to have been financed by bankers.
That's right.
To support both sides
of
the conflict, and the side that they wanted to win was financed the most.
Yeah, but the bankers were lured into place by the communists for a false profit that they were expecting to come from communist countries. This was documented by, let's say, the new economic policies of Lenin. He was able to gain access to German capital that brought him to, he actually set up that Eastern Republic that was totally, it was pretending to be divided from Russia, from the communist Russia. And it was pretending to be democratic, to have freedom in there, except the leadership of the Eastern Republic of Russia were all communist agents, basically working for Lenin. And within 5 years, when when the communist Russia became stronger, the Eastern Republic was followed by the Lenin communist Russia to become Soviet Union, basically, and the people that returned from exile, that were lured into believing that communism was over in that part of the region, they were murdered, or their property was seized and confiscated. The Western investments were basically stolen, and the West was left without any profit coming back. So we have the situation again. These people were proven wrong. We have the situation today because people just simply don't learn from the history of communism, and today we blindly see the people that are investing in these countries of Eastern Bloc and of course China and Russia, they seem to forget that this will end as it ended before. You know, it's simple than that. And of course there's also information published by Joseph D. Douglas in his book Red Cocaine that the Russians were very much involved in operation that was basically money laundering in the United States. There were several banks that were involved in money laundering. The Russians were using drugs for blackmail and recruitment of these people involved in the upper management and U.S. Companies. And this was all documented and based on defectors' testimonies. So you know, when you see a company that is selling military technology to China, you have to start questioning these people, who they are, who makes the decisions, who okays it in the State Department. And of course, we have to look at back on individual cases. But to accept the conspiracy as to destroy your own well-being as a country, that's a little too far-fetched for me. I mean, I'm seeing the communists.
All you have to do is look at the Defense Department. Donald Rumsfeld has contracted almost all the military hardware out to private outsources. Well, the only thing is made in the United States anymore.
We don't have an infrastructure in our country.
Most of it's made in Red China.
Build the military now.
Well, it falls back to what we're accepting. We're not seeing China. We were brainwashed into believing that China has good intentions, which in fact...
I think Donald Rumsfeld knows what's going on.
Well, the
Secretary of Defense, this is not his first journey at it either.
You know, you go back to the Vietnam War and you talk about Robert McNamara. Robert McNamara helped engineer the Vietnam War and the outcome of that war with Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State.
Well, Henry Kissinger is another case.
Henry Kissinger was a Soviet agent, but we're talking about Rumsfeld, and I go back to Robert McNamara. He had to know what was going on. He had to know that we were going to fail in Vietnam, don't you think?
Well, the problem is, I'm being asked questions about American history that I'm not that familiar with, but that would require a lot more study. But I'm only saying that communism is not to be taken lightly, and that there is a plan to destroy America that was put in place by Khrushchev. It's called long-range strategy. That plan is still working. That plan is called Perestroika today. These are the people that have nuclear missiles pointed at us.
Somebody had to have financed communism, though, right?
I'm sorry?
Someone had to have financed the
buildup
of communism.
Well, yes, but again, I'm saying this was blind trust in something that wasn't there. Again, they created the perestroika, in order that, you know, that it was the economic news that Russia all of a sudden collapsed, the Soviet Union collapsed, and the Eastern Bloc and the end of communism, and so people just jumped on the easy profit that came from from these countries, and of course very much regrettable policy. Opening up China, basically, for U.S. companies. That's very troubling. This is what these people offer. The U.S. Investors don't realize that communists can play this kind of game for 15, 20 years and still be ready to attack. These people only think in short-term they don't realize, as Mr. Golitsyn pointed out very well, they don't realize that this is a matter of strategy, that basically Russia is not to be taking as a friend, and China the same way. I mean, we should very much reassess our policies and change our ways and cut off any kind of relationship with these countries, because they are up to no good.
Well, the point is, for us and many people in America, that's obvious. But the fact that things don't change and things remain the same means that we've been infiltrated in our government with communist agents.
That's pretty much, I agree with that, absolutely.
But the financing of all this, you know, you look at our dollar bills. On the front it says, legal tender for all debts, public and private. Well, what does that mean? We're a vassal servant of the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve System started out as, and remains at the top of 12 banking families that are international. Rothschild's Bank of London is supposedly, and I don't know where you can get the proof of this, Rothschild's has 51% of the Federal Reserve. This is all the point that I think you're making, Dennis, is the fact that the bankers are engineering the conflicts from the past to the present today. Is that it?
Yes, they have to. That's how they make their profit. They make their profit on the wages of war.
Do you think the bankers want the Soviets to attack this country and communist China to attack this country?
What are they going to lose?
Well, they're going to lose their life.
Hey, now, first off, I want to go back to one thing, okay? You have Marx, you have Engels, and you have Lenin, okay? It's provable that none of them, so-called fathers of socialism or communism, wrote the manifestos. Okay? They were financed from the West. Now, why were they financed from the West? That's the heart of your problem. Communism was set up to do exactly what it's doing.
And you're talking about
1850? Long-term plan for centuries.
So you're talking
this
about plan Karl Marx back in 1850, right?
As far as we know right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably farther back than that.
Okay.
The plan for a long, long time. This almost happened the dawn of 1776. I mean, it's provable today that the American Revolution was financed by the Rothschilds. So it was set up from the very beginning.
Our country was heavily in debt at the conclusion of the Revolutionary War.
Absolutely. And we were occupied for 13 years by British troops after we supposedly won. Tell me what country you can find today that wins a war is occupied by the invaders.
Well, certainly Hans is probably not versed enough to talk about that one.
Well, I'm trying to warn America about the threat of communism. I'm seeing that basically whoever financed the communist revolution in Russia, these people, were mainly people that liked the idea, and that they were promised things that were never meant to be. You know, Lenin was skilled manipulator. He knew the techniques how to promise things and never deliver, because he knew that, and he was stating that very well, that the means justified the end. You know, and let me read real quick. Again, from Mr. Golitsyn, this is information regarding the strategy, what they have against America. Mr. Golitsyn was serving in as a KGB officer in Helsinki and the Soviet embassy in 1961, where he defected from. And he says, it reminds me of remarks by Vladimir Zhenikov, the former KGB resident chief officer in Finland, and Alexei Novikov, another KGB officer. At the time, the strategy, the long-range plan, was adopted in 1961. Both of them had recently returned from home leave in Moscow. When I asked for the latest news from headquarters, both replied using different words, but to the same effect. This time, the KGB are going to finish with capitalist America once and for all. I believed them then, and I believe that what is happening now is a bad omen for Western democracy. And Golitsyn stated this very well, that this was the plan. The plan existed. This was, of course, not only Golitsyn. This was also Czechoslovak General Jan Šejna, who had first-hand knowledge of this plan being implemented because he was part of the Czechoslovak Defense Council. It was part of the decision-making circle. So he was right there when the plan was implemented by Khrushchev. And this plan involved creating a false democratization process in Eastern Europe and the so-called collapse of Soviet Union. In order to gain access to Western credits and money, to lure Western businesses into a false partnership with the communists, and to create economic ties that the capitalists will be very reluctant to stop, basically. to tie the you know, the profit hungry people into ventures that they can't really stop themselves because there's too much money involved in there. And we see that in our relationship with China today, because there's cheap products coming from China, which is very much profitable here on the U.S. market. Of course, this was influenced by the labor cost of in America, basically, that the labor, the price of the labor, the cost of the labor was inflated by the communist-infested unions in America and in Western Europe, for that matter. So, you know, the cheap products of China are very much put in place at that same time. And of course, the infiltration of various mafia organizations in the United States and in Western Europe were part of the Soviet strategy also. It was also documented by in the book of Red Cocaine, written by Joseph D. Douglas, based on testimonies of various defectors. For example, Czechoslovak intelligence had by 1968 agents in various, and took over, basically the intelligence took over over 30 mafia organizations in around the world. So they took them over and used the information coming from these circles to corrupt politicians, to basically infiltrate the structure of the banking system, to use money laundering for the schemes for intelligence operations.
I'll tell you what, Hans,
very well documented.
We're running out of time here, and I've got some questions from emails. Dennis, how about a parting shot?
Well, the only thing I would say is, you know, the bankers are the ones behind everything that's going on as far as that goes. I mean, they're the one that profits from all this. They're the same reasons our borders are open to let cheap labor in. They're the same ones there, you know. It's their policy. They're behind it somewhere. So, I mean, you know, you have to see it for what it really is. Communism is a set up thing, and yes, I have no doubt with the statements that have been made by all the people that make the statements. But then again, they're just the actors in the theater.
Okay, now stay with me on this question for Hans. Dennis, today I realize that with the increase of people coming to this country, legal or otherwise, that they are likely to buy products made in the countries they came from, or buy products from other foreign countries, but less products made in America. Not that this is bad or wrong, but with increasing numbers of unemployed people in America, could this be an excuse for increasing socialism here, is the question asked.
That's a very interesting question. Of course not. could this be excuse for bringing socialism here? In what sense? This is free country. Of course,
go ahead.
I'm sorry?
It's free to a certain extent. You can't get away with not paying your...
Right, yeah, I agree with that, but...
democracy is really not really what we were. We were a constitutional republic. Democracy is really the code word for socialism, actually.
Right. Well, the free market goes only so far, and there's also the survival of the country. And when you have on one level the profit from cheap labor of the country that doesn't rely on or doesn't allow any freedom, tyrannical communist country, and then on the same level we put these cheap products that are basically obtained from slave labor on the same level as U.S. enterprise, you know, then we have a problem, seriously.
We're going to eventually become a slave country if we continue buying slave products made in other countries, correct?
Well, the price of the labor will go down, of course, we have to also accept the idea that this is not only the strategy, the communist strategy is not only for the civilian purposes, but it's also military strategy that takes away our production means during the wartime. And this is very important for the Chinese and for the Russians, because they see that our price of labor will go up, and since they are diverting the production means, they are taking away our production ability during the wartime, which, you know, when the factory is closed, you know, then what are you going to do? You know, the machines are removed, and they are sent to overseas to already built factories, and then, you know, they produce cheaper labor, cheaper products. So this is also part of the strategy. It's very important, because these people are not stopping producing weapons, so they will use the weapons against us. That's pretty much given.
Dennis, any thoughts?
You're talking about the factories being removed and put into Red China, okay? Now, they're getting equipment now that they have engineers for, that at the time those engineers were trained to run that equipment didn't exist in their country. But they were being brought to the West to be trained to run that equipment decades ago.
Well,
there was a plan behind that a long, long time ago. Now, who financed that?
Well, I mean, we had ties with Communist China since the, you know, I don't know, since the Sino-Soviet split. Basically...
The thing is, though, you had people being trained to run equipment that didn't exist in their country 20 years ago. They were being brought to the West and trained to run that equipment.
Yeah, but it doesn't take 20 years to train people.
It just happened overnight. This has been a plan for a while. That should be highly evident with just that little bit of knowledge itself.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying this is of course the communists had this in place for 40 years. They were working on it for a long time.
Wait a minute now. A communist state couldn't pull that off in the West. They couldn't open up the schools in the West to let their people in to be trained.
But they've done it.
Somebody in the West had to allow that to happen.
They've done it with the Eastern Republic. They lured the Western capital to Russia already. That was already done. That's a big precedent right there. It's a matter of history. I mean, you know, we are dealing with concentrated evil, with communism that will never cease to stop until it's dealt with, and it was never dealt with in its historical,
But it's not being dealt with today. Communism's dead to us today. They publicize that communism's dead.
Take a look at who was behind setting up the UN. The UN is a communist organization.
Well, I don't.
It was created by communists.
It's being run by Russia and China.
Well, that's a good statement to end on at this point in time. We're out of time, and we should do this a little more next week. Dennis, I appreciate you calling in, certainly.
That's okay.
Thank you very much.
Hey, guys. I'll
talk to you later.
All right.
And certainly, Hansa, give me a call.
Sure.
And we'll continue with this tomorrow night, listeners. Pay attention. Do your research. It's all there on AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K. Good night.
Bye-bye.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named